Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James. It's over. It's over. Cleveland is a city of champions once again. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.
That sound means it's time for Cavs on the Break NBA podcast, part of the Press Play Podcast Network. I am your host, Chase Smith, and with me, he covers the Cleveland Cavaliers for Sports Illustrated. Man, that feels good to say. Ladies and gentlemen, Sam Amico. Sam, what's up, my man? How's Ohio? I'm in Tampa, Florida right now. How's Ohio feeling?
Tampa, Florida. It doesn't feel as good as Tampa, Florida. I can assure you that. But other than that, it's nice. It's home.
Good. Episode 30 right here. Cavs on the Break. Episode 30, Sam. We made it. 30 episodes in.
That is pretty cool. It's almost as old as me. Well, at least episode-wise.
Hey, will the Cavs have more wins than episodes for Cavs on the Break this season?
If you had, last time we did this, I would have said yes.
Right. A little rough.
I'm not so sure.
A little rough. Let's jump to it. Let's recap the week four slate, end of week three, week four slate. Sam, since we talked, the Cavs haven't won a game, brother. We've dropped to 14th in the East. We're 4-10, fifth in the Central Division. It goes Bucks, Pacers, Bulls, Cavs, Pistons. We are 2-8 in the last 10 games. 5-game losing streak. We've looked silly against the Heat. Lost to them twice. Philly, Knicks. We really weren't competitive in any of those games. Dude, what's the state of the team? Like, what? Tell me the feel inside the locker room.
Well, you know, Coach Beilein's talked about it. I think the locker room's still okay. There's not problems there. But on the court, Coach Beilein has talked about it. It's been lack of ball movement, and the intensity defensively has not been there. You know, they were playing, even when they were losing earlier in the season, the last podcast we talked about, they were showing this fighting spirit.
Yeah.
And that's, they're getting behind very quickly in games, getting down big very quickly in games, in the last four particularly. And just that little bit of edge and confidence that they'd been playing with, has been missing. And you know, the thing is, once you start losing like this, it can start a snowball effect. And you don't want to get too far behind here in terms of, you know, you want to develop players, but you don't want to get so far down where you're getting blown out every game, because then it starts messing with you mentally and emotionally.
You wrote an article for SI.com/NBA/Cavaliers. Shouts to your Cavs Maven part there. Beilein's new approach. He's maybe looking to adjust some strategy. Do you think the teams are starting to figure out how to work through their defense or shut down their offense? Or tell us about that article, Sam.
Well, first of all, he's contemplating a change of starting lineup. In the last game against Miami, they were down 13 at half, which wasn't insurmountable. But, you know, he made a decision to – I'm sorry, down 13 at the end of the first quarter against Miami. And, you know, he decided the second half that he wasn't liking – Coach Beilein wasn't liking what he saw defensively, particularly from the young guards, Sexton and Garland. Chetty Osman has been not good during this losing streak. He's been pretty bad. He's only scored more than 5 points once during the losing streak. Oof. Last game against Miami, he had three. So, you know, that's the first key, is that he's considering change the starting lineup. I don't know what that is. He hasn't given any clues what that might be. He has said it may not happen. He just said it could happen. So, you know, I think that that's one thing. And yes, you asked if the other teams are starting to figure things out. Well, the one thing that they are figuring out is the Cavs are going to play hard. So you better bring your A game against them. So now really good teams like Philadelphia and Miami are bringing their A games against them. And you know, people are paying attention that this team may not have a ton going for it, but it's going to play hard. Well, now the other teams that are playing them respect that and are also playing very hard against them. And it's been a struggle, because you're talking about the two guys who bring the ball up the floor. One's a second-year player in Colin Sexton. The other one's a rookie who's just played 10, 12 NBA games. That's tough because that's where everything starts. Your offense and your defense starts in the backcourt, and the Cavs are extremely young and still learning and still developing in the backcourt. So that's been a big part of it, I think.
Like Gandalf at the end of the Battle of Helm's Deep in Lord of the Rings, the White Knight, new unis, Sam. When all things are lost, show the fans new unis in a new court, in a new court design. At the most perfect time, Cavs.
Get them, get them. That's pretty, a good timing. Yes, it was.
They look great. They look really good compared to the Mavs' ugly city uniforms, which has kind of made the rounds. The Cavs look good. It looks good.
It looks a lot better than last year. I think last year kind of looked, you know, if you remember, it was just like white with blue. It was kind of weird. It was very plain. So this one has a little bit of life to it. I think I'm a proponent for two uniforms, but I also the home whites and the road darks. That's all I ever really wanted. But this is a new era, and if you're going to do it, you might as well do it right. So yeah. I think this one looks good.
Looks great. I like the dark blues. I think it looks good. I think it looks good. Sam, I want to jump to talking about wrapping up week five slate. We're in the middle of this week five here, and we end it with two games, Friday night and Saturday night. Friday, we are at Dallas. We take on Luka, who is playing out of this world. Like, that's not even possible for a 20-year-old to be dropping 40-point triple-doubles. That's on Friday night. That's tomorrow night. We're recording on a Thursday night. And then Saturday night, back-to-back, we are home against Hoodie Mello and the Trailblazers. Is there a possibility we pick up a win in any of those games? I mean, what do we expect here the next end of the week five slate?
Well, first of all, you have Dallas, obviously, playing very well. Doncic is playing. The Cavs got to look at them in Cleveland. It's kind of interesting. Real, as an aside, that the Cavs have been playing, you know, Miami, Philadelphia. They still play Philadelphia again before December 9th. Because I looked at the schedule and I thought they're playing so many of the same teams that you would think there's only like seven teams in the league. Because they play Philly again, they play Milwaukee again, they play a couple other teams that they've already played again.
Magic
until December 9th. Yeah, the Magic, and then all of a sudden you have Dallas twice. This is the first Western Conference opponent that you're knocking out within the first, you know, what, 9 weeks of the season. So it's pretty weird how the schedule works. But anyway, you know, it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough in Dallas, even though it sounds, you know, they're going to have Tristan. They're going to have Love. They're going to have Larry Nance Jr. They're going to have the guys who have been out lately in the front court, and that's important. But what they really need is to go back to moving the basketball, really playing hard on defense, and making that effort. You know, John Beilein had a great line about their defensive struggles, and he said it was last week even, I think he said, we're smaller. We give up a lot of size than most teams, so you have to make up for that with effort. You have to make up for that by being in a person's face and in their space when they're going up to shoot. You know, you can't just lay off of people and lift your hand up and hope that they miss the shot. You've got to go attack defensively. And the Cavs are not a real physical team right now either. So, you know, those two things are really going to have to improve to beat a good team like Dallas on the road. I mean, that's tough to beat good teams on the road, no matter who you are. But with the Cavs, the way things are going, you know, one win could change that. One win could make you feel good about yourself again. So it's going to be tough. I hate to predict the outcomes of regular season games, but you know, you just go in there with the mindset, hey, let's go after this and get this and pull off the upset. And then you get to fly all the way across the country from Dallas back to Cleveland,
right?
To play a pretty good Portland team, even though they've been struggling this season. They may be without Lillard. He's had back spasms lately and has missed the last two games. So, you know, you hope to get that one. And I've said it all along, Chase, this is a team that if you know, you have to win your home games, you've got to fight and steal a couple on the road and then win your home games. If you really want to have a season that the fans are going to be following all season and more than just the draft, you know, you don't want the fans to start following the draft, the NBA draft that comes in June. You don't want them to start following that the first week of December.
Thanksgiving. Yeah. The last three games, the Cavs have had the third worst defense in the league. It goes, Atlanta has the worst defense, San Antonio, then Cleveland, which has been uncharacteristic compared to the rest of the season. So definitely that effort is not there. Something is awry. So we'll see. Maybe they can finish this week five slate, snap this five-game losing streak before it gets too ugly. See some people on Twitter already writing the season off, saying the season was fun. hopefully people will come around and realize it's a young team. And they got a lot to – young team, new coach. First NBA coach, so a lot of kind of learning and growing.
It's been a tough schedule so far, too. I mean, this has not been an easy schedule. The one game that they shouldn't have lost, that they looked bad in, that they shouldn't have looked bad in, was at New York earlier in the week. But I will say, you went to New York a week earlier than that, which again is a bizarre twist in the schedule. You play at New York twice in 8 days, and the first time you go there, you beat them by 21 points. You're up 30. They're not going to let that happen again the next time you see him. So it's been a tough schedule so far.
But, and we touched on this at our last episode, Sam, it's always going to be tough when you don't have the best player on the court in basketball.
Yes, and absolutely.
And a lot of these games, they don't even have the top two. But I mean, when they play Dallas, Luka and Zinger are going to be the best players on the court.
Yes.
And so it's always going to be tough. And until this team either matures into better players, or they make a trade, or something happens, it's always going to be tough. That's just the nature of the NBA. Sam, I want to jump to a new segment that we started a couple episodes ago. How does this end? It's a lot of fun. You just tell me how it's going to end. I just want to jump to the end of the book. You and your magic eyeball, tell me how this ends. I have five kind of statements here, all right? And I want you to tell me how this ends in your vast NBA knowledge. I want to start with Kevin Love. He kind of tweaked his back a little bit. You tweeted out he's aware of these trade rumors. How does this Kevin Love season end? Is he going to end on the injured list? Is he going to end with the Cavs? How does this Kevin Love end? The Cavs, I think, very strategically used him to unveil the city unis in one of their promo shots. I know he's one of the key players in the Cavs, but I think that was very intentional. Sam, how does this end?
Well, your fear, obviously, with Kevin Love always is injuries. He's always, you don't want to blame him, but you know what I mean? It happens a lot. And
around this time last year when he got injured against the Nets, it kind of rerouted his
This time last year. So I just think that, you know, it's always a concern. I'm going to stay positive, though, and say Kevin Love plays at least 70 games. How is that?
That would be amazing. That would be amazing.
They'll hold him out a few games to rest him.
Sure. Load management.
He'll miss a few because of injuries here and there. But I think this is a year that he stays as healthy as he's ever been.
I have him on my fantasy basketball team. I'm not going to tell you my team name because it's inappropriate and I'm at a ministry conference, but I've thought about trading him a couple times and I have a trade out that is accepted. We're not going to talk about fantasy basketball. Anyway, I agree. I think he's going to be held out, maybe injured. 70, I think, is a lofty goal, Sam. He's already missed.
It's huge. I might as well say the Cavs will go to the Eastern Conference Finals, but go ahead.
But I love your optimism. I love it. Let's stay there. The next, how does this end? Colin Sexton starting. So there has been narratives, which is another fun segment we do, but of Colin Sexton's time in the NBA, he's destined to come off the bench. Will he find that role this season, or are the Cavs going to try to keep him in the starting lineup, Sam?
I think they'll try to keep him in the starting lineup. The one thing I will say about – and again, I mean, he's 20 years old. He's a second-year player, and I don't think that you give up on a guy at that point unless he's just awful. And he's not been awful. His assist numbers have been embarrassingly bad.
It's like 2.3 or something like that.
He's had – you could talk about the last three games. He had one in one game, one in another game, and zero against the Heat. That most point guards can get an assist by accident.
It's
you know, so that and you know, people say, well, it's not like he has Ray Allen and Klay Thompson on the wings. Well, that doesn't matter. I mean, that is part of it, in fairness to Sexton. At the same time, you know, he's missing people. I see people that are open. Well, you know, obviously I'm not in the game action, but you can see people who are standing there open, calling, clapping for the ball. I've seen Garland do it. I've seen Nance. I've seen Love.
The last three games knocked his assist per game down to two
yeah,
assists per
that's,
game.
That's unacceptable for a starting point guard. I think one thing that could happen and could happen very soon is hey, Colin, you're moving over to the wing, you know, and letting Garland move to point guard.
Give him the keys. Right. I know someone asked you in your mailbag on Sport and on SI this like Trey Young, Darius Garland comparison. And you had a pretty good response to that, right? You want to share that a little bit?
Well, Garland, yeah, he's his own guy. But you look at Trey Young started his rookie year was struggling, and Trey Young wasn't playing alongside a guy who played the same position when he came into the league, you know, and was also young. So, I think that's been a big adjustment for Garland. But to me, Darius Garland's the best passer on the team. He is, and you.
Well, Kevin Love might have a word for you.
I'm telling you what, I think Darius can find guys when he's driving to create shots for others. I don't know. Kevin Love's an excellent passer, don't get me wrong. I just think Darius Garland's a guy who's going to set up a really nice shot for somebody else close to the basket. So by that, I mean he's clearly a better passer than Sexton. He clearly looks to pass more than Sexton, and I think that maybe now's the time, or soon is the time, to say, you know what, Colin, you're moving over here. You're more of a Monta Ellis type. I will say this for Sexton in his defense. He will get you baskets when all else is lost. He will find a way to score. He can create shots for himself. Okay, so if that's the case, you don't really need that guy playing point guard. You put him over at shooting guard. And
that is a very valuable asset in the league. A lot of teams, you know,
especially with this team. Yeah.
And I think that's why, like, coming off the bench has kind of been this, like, undercurrent on Twitter. It's just on Twitter, Sam. But I think I would love to see a move to the wing, give the keys to Darius Garland, and kind of see what happens. What's the worst that could happen?
Lose every game by 25. They're doing that now.
Right. You know? Right. So how does this end? Maybe Sexton moving to the wing, which I think would be an interesting development. I'd love to see it. Here's the third one, and this one could be short and sweet. The Cavs playoff hopes. Can we end that now? Does that end now?
I hate to say that, but yeah, I mean, that's, you know, there's just Chase. There's just not enough talent to be a playoff team right now.
What would it take for that to continue?
For them to get back into a playoff type of race
and conversation, yeah. Because right now,
in a conversation,
these last three games just really deflated that whole .
Yeah, well, you know what? They're going to go through a period where they're going to start winning some games too. That does, you know what I mean?
You would hope. So,
I think they will. I think that, you know.
I agree.
After this trip, they've got six home games in a row.
Yes,
and
we'll touch on that in a moment.
Some of those are against, you know, you've got Orlando's. Those are the teams that you got to beat at home. But in order for them to get into the conversation again, they can't let this spiral to where they get to, you know, 4-15 or 5-16 or something, because then that even if you win six in a row, that you're still only, you know, 12-15, so or 11-15, so you can't get too far out of it.
Then it really changes the narrative come trade deadline, and all of a sudden you're sellers, and it's just
– No, they're already talking about that on Twitter. They're already not even on Twitter, just everywhere you turn, you know, on television or anywhere. On the radio, it is, you know, time to start talking trade with some of these guys, and they will. They will, whether they – you know, no matter – unless they suddenly turn it around, they're going to be talking trade very soon.
All right, and the fourth one here, Chetty Osman with the team. Really, really rough stretch for our guy, Chetty. How does this end? Is this experiment over?
It's getting close, I think. Yeah. I think that he's going to have to start being consistent. He may be moving to the bench. Maybe, you know, I surmise that if there is a change in the starting lineup, that's where it will come, and he'll move to that bench role. And you know what else is?
Porter go there?
I believe Porter would, or you go big with Thompson, Nance, and Love there, which, you know, I don't think Nance is going to be guarding too many small forwards, so it'd probably be Porter.
I don't want that, but yeah.
But you know, I mean, the thing is, at some point, Windler's going to be making his debut. You know, from everything I've been told, it's going to be, they're hoping or early to mid December. You know, and I don't. Windler's going to be a rookie too, and he's going to be late to the game, so I expect him to struggle. But at some point, you know, Jetty's going to have to take command of that role because you can't keep. He's hurting the team right now. He's just Jetty. That's just the truth. He's hurting the team.
I love you, man. I'm a fan. I think you could be a great player. It's just not working right now, buddy. So I don't know.
He dribbled the ball against the Heat. He dribbled the ball off his heel.
Yeah.
Hit off his heel and rolled into the backcourt with nobody around him. And that's when I kind of thought, oh boy. I thought, did an NBA player just do that?
He's got to be in the right headspace. He's not there. I don't know where he is, but it's not in Cleveland. And here's this last one. This is the NBA. How does this end? Luka Doncic, I mean, just having an incredible, incredible November. 20 years old, Sam. I never seen a 20-year-old make it look so easy. I mean, MVP? Does this end as an MVP?
It definitely could. He is turning around that franchise. There's not a lot there. Porzingis is, you know, he's still feeling his way back.
Sure.
And the rest of that team is okay. You know, they're okay, but Doncic has put them in the playoff, not only the playoff conversation, but a top 4 or 5 seed in a very stacked conference at 20 years old, as you mentioned. And the guy is just blowing me away. You can't stop him. And he's not like super big, and he's big, but he's not like LeBron, where he's got this huge size and speed where he's flying at you and skilled. You know, I mean, Doncic is just shifty. He's so skilled, and he is a good athlete. Don't get me wrong, but in terms of natural athleticism, but he's just, I don't think anybody was expecting this. Nobody was expecting Doncic to be what he's become already. Can he win MVP? Yes. Will he? I don't know. Only because, again, a lot of it is determined by how well your season finishes.
Now, I'm not a Luka expert. But I do know that I think his time playing overseas, he's, even though second year, has a lot more miles than a regular 20-year-old. He lets the game come to him. He knows when to pick his spots. That only comes from experience and minutes, which I think he earned overseas. He was the MVP overseas champion at like 17 or whatever that was. It was ridiculous. And so it's fun. I'm enjoying it. I don't know. Well, that is How Does This End? And that ends right now. Sam, thanks for looking into the future with me. I appreciate it, man. Hopefully we'll see how that really does end.
I was wishy-washy about the future. I didn't really give you any firm answers.
No, we did. We got K-Love, 70 games.
Sexton
moving to the wing. Cavs playoff hopes are probably high hopes at this point. And Chetty's, looking maybe at the bench. So,
yeah. Okay.
Yeah, you did good. You did good.
All right.
I knew you would. I knew it. I knew it was going to end well, Sam. I knew it. The upcoming slate, week 6, we mentioned it, a 6-game homestand. We got 3 games in week 6, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, home against the Nets and Magic. They're both 6-8, very winnable games. The Nets are ravished by injuries. Kyrie probably won't play. Karius LeVert is out for the next 6 weeks or so. Friday, home against the league-leading Bucks. They're the second-best record in the league at 12-3. Obviously, Giannis MVP last season. Just steamrolling the league as well. Kind of a little easier schedule, maybe, aside from the Bucks. Maybe we can get 2 or 3. Sam, what do you think?
Home games ideally are supposed to be easier, but, you know, I mean, again, if this team finds the resolve, it's got to rediscover that resolve it had through the first 9 games. And if it rediscovers that, it's going to, you know, they will get back to the point where they're winning home games and fighting and scratching and clawing. And, you know, I think that they need to find that, and they need to find it fast, or this is going to get way out of control. But yes, those are all definitely winnable games. Milwaukee, obviously, that's a tough one. But, you know, hey, you're at home. Play determined basketball. Show the spirit you showed through the first nine games, and almost anything can happen.
Yeah. Hey, I think over these next five games, the Dallas, Portland, Nets, Magic, and Bucks, I think the Cavs can go 3-2. I really do. I think we can catch Portland traveling across country, still trying to figure out this Melo thing. I don't think Dame's going to play. I think CJ is going to overextend himself, as he's known to do at his hometown. I can see us winning that game. And then I think we can beat the Nets and Magic. I really think, I don't know. I'm with you. I'm thinking high. I'm thinking good vibes. And I really think we can help maybe kind of course correct here, this week, Sam. I'm right there with you. You convinced me.
Well,
I'm not on the edge anymore. Thank you.
They just got to get that. And Coach Beilein has said this, you just need to get that one win to start feeling good about yourselves again. Yep. So, you know, hopefully that would come for the Cavs sooner than later.
Well, that does it for a Cavs on the Break NBA podcast. Thank you all so much for downloading and listening. Hey, listen, we want to do a mailbag episode really soon. Send your questions to Cavs on the Break on Twitter. We will answer them after Thanksgiving in our episode next week. Make sure to follow us on Twitter at Cavs on the Break. We always follow back. Shouts to the Press Play Podcast Network for making this possible. Follow Sam on Twitter at Amico Hoops. Catch all of his work and writings on Sports Illustrated for the breaking news, insider info. Do not miss out. Don't forget to buy Sam's book. It's incredible for Christmas coming up. Sam, yeah. Any final thoughts?
No, just have a great Thanksgiving, and everybody listening, have a great Thanksgiving, and don't be a turkey. That's all I got. Dad
jokes. That was a great one. That was Dad good. Jokes. That was good. That was good. Mike Breen, take us out.
Congratulations, Cleveland. Your decades-long wait is finally over. The Cavaliers are NBA champions.